Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another week's worth of programming here on the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Good to have you with me today. I want to welcome all of my radio listeners, as well as the many of you tuning in by Facebook or downloading us through iTunes, listening through paulwhiteministries.org, whatever format you have chosen to pick up the Deeper Daily. I'm so thankful that you did. I won't waste your time. I want to use the time we have to take you deeper into the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is so good to us. He shows us his love at Calvary, and we are his righteousness because of what he did for us at Calvary. And I know that because of that, you and I are blessed. Today's message, which I'll take you all week through this message, is concentrated in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. And that, though that's an Old Testament passage, it is fulfilled in Jesus. Whatever is done in Christ belongs to you, because the promises of God are in Christ, and they are yes and amen. This particular message concentrates on the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Next week, I'll bring for you a message that concentrates on living free from the curses that are mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. So don't miss the next 2 weeks here at Deeper Daily. Let's get busy today. Here is the first part of Living in the Blessings of Deuteronomy 28.
You're putting your seal of approval, like a king's signet. You're saying, so be it unto me. That's what amen means in the Hebrew. So be it unto me. Could only say amen. We can only say amen to that which we see Christ has paid for. Are you in Deuteronomy 28? Notice Deuteronomy 28 is a blessings chapter. As a matter of fact, some of your subtitles in your Bibles, this is not going to be universal because Bibles are made by different manufacturers and different companies write their headings. Some of your headings are going to say something. I'm going to guesstimate that most of your headings use the word blessing in the 28th chapter. Okay. The reason for that is the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is widely known, whatever title you use, but it's widely known as the blessing chapter. It's God showing you what he's going to do to Israel if Israel keeps their end of the bargain. Now, the 27th chapter has a whole bunch of stuff happening where the law is written on tables of stone. Blessings and cursings come from Mount Ebal and Gerizim. But I want you to notice, starting in the 15th verse, we're not going to read every word of that 27th chapter, but I want you to watch this in the 15th verse all the way through the 26th verse. What's the very first word? Cursed. Cursed. This is a verb, a pronounced accursement to whatever is being said in this verse. Let's just use a couple of them, okay? We won't, for sake of repetition, we won't keep going. But you're going to notice something else on the far side of each verse. The front side is cursed, but watch. Cursed be the man, 15, that makes any graven or molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Then verse 16, cursed. And all the people shall say, amen. Do you notice all the way through the end of the chapter, curses followed by all the people shall say amen. I want you to notice it's God telling Moses and Aaron what to do. The people aren't actually saying amen yet. God's telling them, when you hear the curse being spoken, say amen. Now, when you get to verse 1 of chapter 28, let's read verse 1. I want you to watch what happens, and most importantly, I want you to watch what doesn't happen. Deuteronomy 28:1, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Notice, blessed, blessed, blessed. But what's not at the end of every verse? No one saying amen. This is a curiosity, and we dealt with this several months ago, but I'm going to bring this back because I want to take you a step further from the message we did 6 or 8 months ago regarding the fact that in the 27th chapter, all of the curses, cursed, 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 and everyone said amen. But when we get to blessed, 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 why doesn't one person say amen? Not one person is allowed. Remember, it's God telling them to do it. Why doesn't God tell them to say amen? Because the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So when the verse leads off with a curse, it's easy to get the curse. What did you have to do to get cursed? Not much. Or just try and, okay, you're qualified. There's the curse. The point is, you couldn't keep the law. No matter what you did, no matter how hard you tried, no matter how wise you were, no matter how much effort you had, wealth didn't matter, social status didn't matter, intelligence didn't matter. You would break the law at least once. And when you did, cursed. In fact, James would go on in the New Testament to say, broke one part, you broke it all. So, curses were easy to get. So you know what? It's easy to say amen. Because it's all on you. I can amen the curse because it's easy to get the curse. But the blessing. To get the blessing, I have to avoid the curse. To avoid the curse, I have to live the law. To live the law, somebody, I'm going to have surgery on this heart of mine. Because I got issues in my head and in my heart and all around me that cause me to mess up. And when I do, I'll never be able to say amen to the blessing. I want you to notice that in Deuteronomy 28, nobody gets to say amen. Because it takes Jesus dying on the cross to give you the right to say amen to the good stuff. You can always say amen to the bad stuff because you're going to do the bad stuff all by yourself. You won't need the finished work for help to mess up. But if you're going to make it, if you're going to walk in God's favor, and you're going to walk in God's righteousness, you're going to walk in God's blessings, it can't be by your own works or by your own effort. It's going to have to be by His finished work. Thus, to say amen to that, Jesus is going to have paid for you to get blessed. Right? Jesus, or let's say it this way. Make it real simple. Somebody's got to step in front of you that can live this where you can't, and then take the blessings and give them to you. Because you're not going to be able to do this. That's why God never says, tell them to say amen. Tell them to say amen. And by the way, I just got to say this. We've said this to you before, but I want to throw this out one more time. That's free Wednesday night bread. Okay? Whenever something is said that identifies with your spirit, and it's Jesus has paid for it, for the love of all that is sacred and holy, say amen. Because do you remember when Jesus stands in the synagogue on Saturday morning and reads from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, on and on and on and on. And when He gets done, the Bible says, he right before He sits down, He says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And He closes the scroll, and the Bible says, there was silence in the room, and the people said one to another, is not this Joseph the carpenter's son? Have you ever wondered what... Do you realize they were on the cusp of the greatest revival the world had ever seen if one little church mouse in the room had squeaked, amen? Somebody in the room should have put their seal on it and said, amen. What would have happened in Nazareth? What did happen in Nazareth? The next few verses says He could do little miracles there, for no one believed. Why? Because the first words out of their mouth was, isn't this the carpenter's son? They were so inquisitive out of their flesh that they couldn't open their spiritual eyes and just say amen. So, you are greatly blessed. You are highly favored. You are deeply loved. And if you forgot that you were supposed to say amen, you can throw one in now. Okay, you'll get qualified for a late amen. All right? Praise God. Now, Deuteronomy 28 then lets us see the blessings that must come through Jesus. We weren't allowed to say amen then, but I'm here to propose to you tonight. Thank God you're allowed to say amen now to Deuteronomy 28. And the reason for that is we're going to find through the course of this lesson, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28. It's not your obligation to go fulfill Deuteronomy 28. Your obligation was found in Deuteronomy 27, and we did a poor job. We do a poor job with our lives, and that's why we can only amen the curse. But Jesus come to amen the blessing. Jesus died to redeem all of us from the curse of sin. Why, though? This isn't often said from the pulpit. Why, we talk about, hey, Jesus came to die to take all of our sins away. Why? Well, so we don't have to go to hell. Couldn't he have kept us from hell another way? Why must He go die for sins? What is the purpose, and why does God care so much? And please remember this. And this is the heartbeat of you understanding how much God loves you. Jesus died to redeem you from your sins, to restore relationship with God. He really wants relationship. He doesn't want religion. He doesn't want works. He doesn't want activity. Every religion in the world is works and activity. God has something better. No other faith can boast that their God became one of them, lived perfectly, died for them, rose from the dead for them, and now lives in them. No other faith has what you have. And so he did this to not give you a religion. The world's got enough religion. He died to give us relationship. So he couldn't do it without getting rid of the sin issue. Because the sin's it's the stumbling block. It's the hurdle. It's that which causes us such problems, such difficulties in our lives. We're going to find that in just a moment. But I want to exegetically take you through Deuteronomy. Because you ready for some sweet promises? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. All right. It shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Stop. Did Jesus hearken diligently to the voice of the Father? Yes. So guess who qualifies for verse 1? Everyone who knows Jesus. All right. So now we're ready. To observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day. Did Jesus do all the commandments? Yes. Okay. So that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Promise number 1, he will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Do you remember this? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. He hath made us to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. This is a fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28:1. What happens when you get saved? You sit with Christ in heavenly places. I call this the Ephesians 2:4-6. Okay? Chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 6. Sit, walk, stand. We do it backwards. In flesh, we do it backwards. Stand up, learn how to walk. When you get home, you can sit down. Stand up, learn how to walk in Jesus. When you get home, you can rest. Jesus does it backwards. Sit with him in heavenly places, chapter 2. Chapter 4, watch the progression. Chapter 4, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Chapter 6, stand. Having done all to stand, therefore, in Christ Jesus. Sit first, walk second, stand later. Do you remember that the when God created the heavens and the earth, the evening and the morning were the first day? You ever notice that he doesn't say the morning and the evening were the first day? Why? He says the evening and the morning were the first day because God starts with rest. He sleeps. And then he goes to work. You and I, we're always like, work, 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 work. Rest when we get to heaven. Right? Work like a dog, rest when you get home. In the Father, you rest for Jesus and you'll outwork everybody else. Learn to rest in Jesus, you'll outwork all your peers. I have labored, Paul said, more abundantly than they all. Okay, we're never going to get through Deuteronomy 28 if you keep shouting like that. Verse 2. All these blessings shall overtake... Oh, I'm sorry. All of these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Did Jesus hearken to the voice of the Lord? Did you hearken to the voice of the Lord the day he said, hey, come and get saved? Yes. So guess what? You get verse 2. And if you get in verse 2, then that means that all of God's blessings are going to overtake you. The word overtake in the Hebrew is nesag, N-A-S-A-G, and it literally in the Hebrew means to grab hold of. So it's the Father grabbing hold of your arm. We see it in the flesh. I love how Jesus does this.
Thank you for listening to the teaching today. The message you've been listening to is titled Living in the Blessings of Deuteronomy 28. If you'd like a copy of this on CD, it's approximately an hour long. I'll send it to you. It's my gift to you just for being a faithful, Deeper Daily broadcast listener. Ask for it by the title, Living in the Blessings of Deuteronomy 28. Until tomorrow, this is Pastor Paul White. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.